This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's Thursday, May 23rd, 2019. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. It's a nice afternoon, sunny, pleasant, a gusty breeze, a high temperature of 77. Currently, it's 69 at O'Hare and 71 at the lakefront.
And the Noon Business Hour presented by Old Second Bank. Temperatures going up, the market's going down. A big time down day on Wall Street so far. Let's get the latest from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
That's right, Rob and Chris. Nothing pleasant about this. We're looking at losses of more than 1.5% to about 2% across the board. The Dow sinking 418 points all the way back down to 25,355. NASDAQ lower by almost 2% or 150 points. And the composites at 7,600. S&P falling by 46 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index down 1.75%. Today's concerns are the same ones that we've seen for most of May, rising trade tensions between the U.S. and China. Companies in the U.S. are paying almost all the costs from President Trump's tariffs on Chinese imports. That's according to researchers at the International Monetary Fund. Their findings dispute the president's asserting that China is footing the bill. U.S. manufacturing took a hit this month. The IHS Market Factory PMI dropped to the lowest level in a decade. Tariffs and bloated inventories cut into new orders. New home sales fell in April for the first time this year after reaching an 11-year high the month before. Most of the decline was for starter homes. Jobless claims down for the week to a five-week low. Crude oil futures, wow, they're sinking 6% now to $57.69 a barrel. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
We're going
to
be talking about that on the Noon Business Hour today. Also, the current argument between the U.S. and China ramping up. And Chicago loses more of its population.
And it's Technology Thursday. We will talk about the world of 5G. It's on the way.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Population of Chicago continues to drop. We're going to be talking about some of the implications in our next segment. Right now, though, the rhetoric continues to fly in the U.S.-China trade impasse. Let's get the latest from Joel Naroff, president of Naroff Economic Advisors in Holland, Pennsylvania. Joel, welcome to the Noon Business Hour. Where does this go now, the U.S. and China trade impasse?
I'm not certain at this point. Looks like both sides have decided to dig their heels in. The Chinese, who were trying to play it low-key, even if they were being hard in the negotiations, are now coming out and talking about long marches, and the U.S. has to back down before they will come back to the table. This rhetoric is heating up. And hopefully it's just negotiating positions, but it looks like any hope for a resolution of the battle, and I think it's really gone beyond a battle, it's now a real trade war, looks like it's not anytime soon, and that's a real worry because it is the U.S. consumer that is paying the price for the tariffs.
Who do you think's going to give in first here?
Well, I'd always thought when this thing started, it would wind up looking like the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement, which I've described as more puff than pastry. I mean, it looks good. There's a few things here and there, but it's not going to change the world or it's not going to change really anything a whole lot. I assume, you know, this battle would go one way or another, and eventually we'd wind up with a similar, let's have an agreement, make believe every, you know, each side would say, we won big and all of that. We move on. I don't know at this point. I think the president has dug in his heels. He's got advisors who are really, really hawkish. I think the Chinese are doing what they always like to do, which is not agree to anything they don't want to agree to. And I don't think the president has seen these kinds of negotiators before.
Last week, the analysis that said the Chinese could essentially wait out President Trump because the president goes up for re-election in 2020 and the Chinese political situation is a little more permanent, shall we say. Do you agree with that take on the situation?
I agree with it to an extent. There's no question that when you're president for life, it's a different situation than when you have to run every 4 years and you're already halfway or more than halfway through your term of office. At the same time, China is a completely different country than it was 20 years ago. And there's a burgeoning middle class and quite an extensive upper class. And the lower-income households are looking to make their moves as well. So you have a situation where the economy is critical to the support of the leadership, and they've got that in their mind that they can probably wait things out, but they can't stand as much pain as I think a lot of people think. I think they can stand more pain than President Trump can, but that's a different story.
Who is noticing the effects of the higher tariffs immediately, because they were imposed just a couple of weeks ago?
Well, I don't think we're seeing it necessarily immediately. They're going to flow through to a wide variety of consumer-based products, and I think that's really the key. I mean, if you look at the products you buy, and if it says made in China on it, there's a reasonably good chance that those prices are likely to go up. And the impacts are either on the consumer or they're on the businesses in the U.S. as well. They're not on the Chinese. They're not dropping their prices of the goods that are coming into the U.S. As a result, all of those tariffs are being borne by U.S. importers and therefore manufacturers who use the goods or consumers who buy the goods. And right now, because it's not such a large percentage of what we consume, we're not seeing huge price increases, but it's being filtered through slowly, and I think that's part of the issue here. If it was on vehicles, that would be something else. I think we'd see those price increases right away, and that would make a difference. But if it's on things such as clothing, that you don't see as quickly.
Joel Naroff, thanks for joining us today. Joel is president of Naroff Economic Advisors in Holland, Pennsylvania. Coming up, the population of Chicago has dropped for a fourth year in a row.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Chicago is mirroring a trend seen in many Midwestern cities, that is falling population. Let's break down the latest numbers with Andy Shaw, former political reporter, ABC 7, and of course, president and CEO of the Better Government Association from 2009 to 2018, and a longtime contributor to election night coverage right here on WBBM. Andy, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. It would seem, if you look at the analysis of the population decline in the city of Chicago itself, is that the great migration of the mid-20th century is taking place in reverse, where African Americans on the south and west sides of Chicago are moving south.
And Rob and Chris, can you blame them? Think about this. You just did the traffic segment. I listen to it all the time because I move around. Traffic is frequently gridlocked on the expressways and the surface streets. We've had terrible weather in the winters, even a lousy spring. Mayor Emanuel, the former mayor, raised taxes and fees $1 billion over his last 4 years. We've had this exorbitant murder rate, a lot of neighborhoods racked with drugs and gangs and guns and crime. Put it all together, and there's a real incentive to leave this great city, and that's a sad commentary, and that's the challenge Lori Lightfoot faces. These are trends that have not yet begun to reverse. We've seen a little decline in the murder rate. Some of the school test scores and graduation rates are higher. That's good news, but Lightfoot's facing a huge budget shortfall. That probably means more higher taxes. There's no solutions to the gridlock on the streets and expressways. And so, really, it takes nerves of steel to stay in the city these days, and that's really sad, and it's a real problem because as people leave, their taxes go with them. That reduces the tax base, and it puts more pressure on government and the rest of us to make up the difference.
I talked a little earlier this week on the Noon Business Hour about another trend. The baby boomers are staying where they are. They're not moving around too much in the final years. So how does that run into what we're looking at today, the numbers we're looking at today?
Take one baby boomer like me. I've lived in Chicago my whole adult life, but I have a summer home in Michigan. I'm spending more time there because in many ways it's a lot easier to live that way. And I think baby boomers, to the extent that they're thinking about whether they finally earned winters without sub-zero temperatures or streets that you can get by without worrying about crime or gridlock, I just think that there's a lot of disincentives for city living these days. Obviously, Chicago's a great city culturally, athletically, socially, and, of course, the nightlife along the lakefront, wonderful amenities. But if we don't get a grip on some of these other issues, the decline's going to continue, and it's going to put an increased pressure on the tax base. It's bad for business. Every family that moves stops shopping someplace or buying someplace, and that, of course, takes profits out of the pockets of businesses. And so it's a ripple effect. It's negative in virtually every way, and one of Lightfoot's big challenges, also a challenge for Governor Pritzker and the legislature, is to deal with this. And now he's talking about higher taxes on the wealthy, which creates an incentive for them to move to lower tax states like Florida. So not great times. Sad to say, on a beautiful day like this, there's a lot of reasons to feel pessimistic about the future.
All right, Andy, always good to hear from you. Andy Shaw is president and former president of the Better Government Association. Still ahead, Technology Thursday, 5G revolution has arrived.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. It's time for business, and Elisa Parenti.
Rob, the Dow down 404 points, or 1.5%. NASDAQ sinking 143 points, or almost 2%. And the S&P retreating 44 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg down 1.75%. Crude oil futures, they're sinking more than 6% now at $57.63 a barrel. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've had wide trade two-sided today. Corn's been up 4 to 5 and down 7. At the moment, we have December down 3.25 at 409.5. Beans have been up 5 to down 11. We have November beans down 5.25 at 850. And wheat's been up 12 to down 3. July wheat up 0.75 at 473.5 in a two-sided trading day. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are sharply lower, as is the price of oil. We'll see what's driving markets down.
It's Technology Thursday. Super-fast mobile technology known as 5G is quickly becoming more available.
The Illinois Supreme Court siding with the city of Chicago and brick-and-mortar restaurant owners in a lawsuit brought by a food truck owner.
And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi suggests that the family or staff stage an intervention with President Trump after he says that he won't work with Congress if they continue to investigate his administration.
WBBM Market Watch, the Dow is down 396 points, the NASDAQ down 141, the S&P 500 down 44. And the Noon Business Hour continues on WBBM. It is sponsored and presented by Old Second Bank. The market's taken a big hit today, and we're joined now by Michael Stritch, Chief Investment Officer and National Head of Investments at BMO Wealth Management in Chicago. Mike, welcome to the program. Your first time on the Noon Business Hour. And it sounds like when a Chinese newspaper prints an editorial, the world listens. And that's the impact on the markets today.
Indeed, and thanks. It's a pleasure to be here. Certainly more trade and tariff-related news that I think spilled over into broader kind of growth fears, right? If you look at some of the actual economic-related indicators came out today, PMI data in the U.S., in the Eurozone, you know, a little weaker than expected. And so people are trying to figure out how to extrapolate the trade news into what could be a little bit more of a slowing growth picture for the global economy than was previously expected.
On the trade front, the official Communist Party newspaper in China printed a response to the latest saber-rattling from the Trump administration. They basically made it sound like both sides are digging in, and this could be a protracted trade conflict.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, we've been saying this since the outset, really, of this entire process, that there was never really it's not really a binary situation here. It's going to be a great deal, or it's going to be everything is falling apart between these two countries. It's really something that will take months and probably years to work through, and it's never really going to be perfect in our minds. So we viewed it from the outset as a continued source of contention and instability. It's going to be behind the markets here for a while.
Well, what are all of the areas in the economy that are going to be hit by this, and how hard?
Yeah, I think the number one thing we think about is sentiment. CEO sentiment, from our perspective, is a big driver of overall capital spending and the nature of the economic engine. The spillover in terms of the tariff indecision or indecisiveness into CEO confidence is very important, because if you're someone that's trying to make an investment decision for the next 5, 10, 15 years, it's hard to do that in an uncertain environment. And that sentiment for us is really worth watching. The other thing that we're watching a lot is consumers, right? The impact on consumers, if we have a tariff situation that goes all the way through for all Chinese goods at 25%, and maybe you see, increase in inflation 0.5%, 60 basis points, that is, we're going to have meaningful price appreciation on some of these consumer products that's going to impact spending, and particularly spending, let's call it, at the lower end of the income ladder, which has been a driver of growth in the last quarter or two for us.
So that affects the nation's the entire nation.
It does, and it will, and it's something that I heard your earlier guest talk about who's kind of paid for the tariffs to date. Interestingly, and the commentary was on around that U.S. businesses have effectively paid tariffs to date, and our research and our discussions with business owners around the country is actually, it's a little more nuanced, it's a little more mixed. The Chinese currency depreciated last year, that helped offset some of the initial tariff transactions, and our understanding from suppliers that we've talked to is that there's been some flexibility there on the part of Chinese producers, but this new round is really going to be a much more difficult to digest for the U.S. business owners. And so we would expect either a margin contraction or a price increase. And we've seen some anecdotal price increases already in some products, washing machines and things like that. That would suggest, yes, indeed, there should be some throughput on increased prices, which is, a negative or a headwind, at least, for consumer spending.
Now, Mike, as you look at your screen and you look at it's a wash in red this afternoon, where are some opportunities for value today?
Well, I think I like your term there, too, opportunities for value. And when it comes to the U.S. market, we're really in a mode of favoring growth and stability. We think at this stage in the economic cycle, which is slow and steady growth is our view for 2019, by the way, but it's definitely slower than last year. And so in that environment, it's harder to be in cyclical or maybe value type of names when the overall growth backdrop is a little more uncertain. So we're preferring things with a little more stability in earnings and revenue growth, things like healthcare equipment, software and services, maybe some consumer staples type of names as well. So really, it's about stability at this point. And even stability, if we're willing to pay up a little bit for that as well. We're not necessarily looking for the deepest value play at present. We're looking for those companies that can sustain earnings growth in the face of maybe a little more uncertain economic backdrop.
Well, Michael Stritch, Chief Investment Officer, National Head of Investments at BMO Wealth Management, based in Chicago. Thank you for joining us on the program this afternoon. Up next in Technology Thursday, the next generation of wireless technology is here.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday on the Noon Business Hour. Companies are starting to roll out mobile and home-based 5G in select cities around the country, including Chicago. We're joined by Scott Moritz, reporter at Bloomberg in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Scott. Tell us about 5G.
Yep. Well, you guys are kind of at the center of it. at the moment. It was announced by Verizon last month that they would have 5G mobile phone service in Chicago and Minneapolis. Also coming to Chicago in the coming months, Sprint and AT&T. So I think a lot of the nation will turn to what the experience has been with Chicagoans and their 5G phones.
And what do we get with the IG?
The extra G. We have 4G now currently with our phones that we have in our hands. The 5G network is going to require a new phone, sadly. There's only one phone out there at the moment. That's a Samsung phone, but there are a couple more coming. It won't be an iPhone for at least another year. But what you'll get is the main thing you'll notice is a lot of additional speed, faster downloads for videos. If you're a gamer, you'll notice a very quick response time, just that sort of thing initially.
So, yeah, and Americans love to have things when they want it. So is this something that the tech crowd is into, or are all of us going to be waiting for 5G?
Yeah, eventually we'll all be swept up in this just because all our devices will have 5G. I think initially it's going to be the early adopters. It usually is folks who want to just try out the fastest and funnest new item, new gizmo out on the market. And it's interesting that the Verizon, which was first out there selling service in Chicago, has waived the $10 5G fee on their phone service. So it already suggests that maybe it's not picking up quite as much as people thought.
Well, at the moment, it sounds like the 5G infrastructure will take a long time to be built out into anything resembling a national network because the towers just don't have that much juice compared to other cell phone towers, a range of just 1,000 feet. Is that just the limits of 5G technology, or will they find a way to give the individual cell towers that do provide 5G more range?
Yeah, no, right. You hit on a very important topic for 5G, and that is that it requires a lot more antennas and a lot smaller space just to spread that short-range signal around. This is a very expensive problem for the carriers. That's probably why they're starting in the urban areas, so they can at least build this cluster and build out from there more economically. But it's going to take the better part of a decade to get to a full 5G network in the U.S., the kind of network that they promise that, that allows autonomous vehicles and robotic surgery and all those big things.
How are the big cell phone companies doing in terms of spectrum space for all of the cellular demand? And we're not even talking about 5G, but, to 4G LTE phones that are commonplace now. You talk about car radios that may need cell signals. You talk about surgery. I mean, there's an awful lot of demand for cellular service. And does the spectrum space exist for the telecoms to meet that service, or do they want other parts of the radio frequency spectrum to keep up?
Yeah, right. We'll need a lot more capacity. And the FCC, which runs our airwave business for the country, is scrambling to make some more available. They have a couple auctions in progress, a few more down the road, that will open up a kind of a different layer of called mid-band spectrum initially, which is known as a 5G spectrum. That will take a couple years to get through the auction process and purchased, and then another couple years to build the network on. So this is unfolding very slowly, but as quickly as I guess they can, given the constraints.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. Scott Moritz, reporter for Bloomberg, based in New York. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday, when we spotlight kid entrepreneurs.
Discussing the news affecting your money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Price of oil is plunging. Let's see what it could signal. And we welcome Patrick Duhon, a senior petroleum analyst at GasBuddy.com here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Patrick. What's going on?
Yeah, good to be with you a lot. Certainly, we're certainly seeing an extensive unwinding right now of oil contracts and futures plunging about 6.5% earlier, now have pulled back slightly. They're down about 5.8%. Oil now $57 a barrel. a lot of this, you know, the Iran sabotage worries are behind us, but now we're obviously, as the Dow is focused on the U.S.-China trade deal again, the market's sagging today under pressure. Not only that, but the Energy Information Administration yesterday reported a healthy build in oil, gasoline, and distillate inventories are kind of the trifecta there. So inventories continue to grow, refineries returning to service, and that's going to bode well for motorists in the days and weeks ahead.
It's going to be cheaper.
Yeah, that's right. I would expect gas prices, which, by the way, in the suburbs did take a bump up yesterday, are probably going to go right back down. So over the weekend, Memorial Day weekend, prices still should be going down. And I think the national average will continue to move lower as it tends to do in the month of June.
Well, this seems particularly well-timed if you are a driver or if you are a air traveler, too, because this is going to eventually filter its way into jet fuel contracts.
That's right. Airlines move much slower, though, when it comes to fuel. So I'm sure they will absorb any of the drop in price, which, you know, has yet to be seen if it sticks around. We've seen sentiment can shift very quickly on the market. And so it would not be surprising if we did see a little bit of profit taking today and then buying back into the market here in the days ahead. Oil demand still remains very healthy this summer. A record amount of Americans going to be traveling on Memorial Day weekend. So the hubbub today is not necessarily reality. Demand is very strong this summer.
The physics of the oil market and how oil prices rise and fall, are they still the same as they were 20 or 30 years ago, or are there just new factors into the equation that causes a lot more volatility?
You know, aside from some of the mainstays, OPEC, that's about all that's been the same in the last 20 years. U.S. domestic oil production now 12.2 million barrels. That's much higher than the 4 to 5 million barrels that we saw 10 or 15 years ago. So the equation has changed greatly. The U.S. has become more energy independent, certainly not energy independent completely yet. But this, the increase in production helps protect the U.S. against what we're seeing right now in the Middle East. Had it not been for the increase in production here, we certainly would be much more subject to OPEC and the Middle East actions.
Well, thank you very much for the insights, as always. Patrick DeHaan, Senior Petroleum Analyst at GasBuddy.com. You can find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's take a look at the markets with Elisa Peretti.
Chris, we are sinking. Wow, the Dow down 406 points, or more than 1.5%. NASDAQ falling 2%, or 153 points, now trading below 7,600. And the S&P down 45 points, at risk of falling through the 2,800 level. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg lower by 1.75%. What's happening is what has been happening. Stocks are sinking as U.S.-China tensions flare. Investors are digging in for what looks to be a protracted dispute between the two countries. The U.S. continues to raise the stakes with threats to cut off Huawei technologies and other Chinese tech companies over what America says are rising national security risks. Tesla may be a victim of its own success in Norway, where it's struggling to keep up with demand. The company hasn't been able to make as many vehicles as it's selling, and that has resulted in customers complaining about bad service. The total number of Tesla complaints is expected to rise this year due to issues with Model 3s, including dents and sloppy paint jobs. That, according to Norway's consumer watchdog. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%.
Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.